will now close Spotlight Health 2016 with another interview, this one featuring Buzz Bissinger talking with Caitlyn Jenner. Many of you will recall the cover piece Buzz wrote last July for Vanity Fair, which revealed that the Olympic gold medalist had transitioned from male to female. Buzz and Caitlyn are now collaborating on a memoir about her transgender journey. Buzz, thank you very much. Caitlyn, thank you.
Thank you. Caitlyn, nice to see you.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be here.
First of all, I know you want to start this thing off, but I have to say one thing before you start.
You do this to me every time.
I know. I do this to you every time. Buzz and I know each other way too well. Okay? We have been working on this book for the last 6 months. I've been telling Buzz things I've never told anybody in my life. And a few months back, we did this performance like this at Penn. And Buzz, after it was over, would said, "Your answers were way too long. Okay? We have to get more questions and answers." So for the last couple of months, he's literally been texting me, "Keep your answers short." Now, brevity has never been my forte, okay? And so, right before, give me this for 1 second. Give it to me for 1 second. So right before I come up, what do I get? Yeah, where did it go? Wait a second.
Now it's there.
Where is it?
Here, I'll show you. Give it to me. Will you? Jesus.
Where was it? Oh, it was on the front page?
Oh, you're such a pain in the neck.
I know. You're on the front page. So just before I'm coming up here, what does he do? One more last shot. Short answers, please. Okay? So, to be honest with you, after reviewing the last time we did this, honestly, Buzz, I think your questions were too long.
And you've already violated what I asked you to do.
I know.
There is one thing, you know, people often say this, no need of introduction, and I think that's true. But there are some things I want to say about Caitlyn, because I think they get misunderstood. First of all, there will be no discussion of politics. We all know Caitlyn's politics are more horrifying than Zika and Ebola combined. So we will not talk about that. We do have a very close relationship, and I've seen a lot of hues of Caitlyn that I think maybe you people have not seen. Yesterday, my brilliant wife Lisa and I walked into downtown Aspen. I would say Caitlyn was stopped a minimum of 75 times, and in each case, reached out to people young and old. It was not an act. She was not trying to prove anything except, "I am now a trans woman. I want you to meet me. I want to break down barriers. I want you to see that I'm accessible, that I'm decent, and that I'm kind, and that I care." A lot of people will say, "Caitlyn's not representative of the trans community," which is true, but we're here today because what is representative? What does that really mean? Yes, she's lived a rich, entitled life, but let me tell you something. If you were the only man with Chris, Chloe, Courtney, Kim, Kylie, and Chris, you would be fucked up. So it ain't been so easy. I know that Caitlyn cares passionately about the issues facing people who are different, the transgender community. She has reached out to those who have contemplated suicide, to mothers who have lost their children. Under the radar and things you never ever see, she gets dozens of texts, dozens of letters every day from people reaching out to her. The normal impulse is to blow them off. She doesn't. She recently helped a woman in South Dakota get a job. She is counseling a young man at her church who wants to transition. Her parents are very scared about it. What does Caitlyn do? "Here is my number. You call me." You call me, and the young man has called her. And I want to disabuse of the notion we all have opinions. We have the rights to those opinions. But don't sell Caitlyn short. I ask you, she is totally committed to what she does. And having said that, I only take cash. So.
See, it was way too long.
No, it was worth saying. And we're talking about health issues. And one of the things, obviously, about health is mental health. your well-being and talk briefly, or as long as you want, seriously, your journey and what it is like when you deny yourself your mental health, when you deny yourself the ability to be your true self, your true soul, and your authentic self.
When a little baby is born, the doctor looks up, and especially in the old days when they didn't know it was a male or female, look up and see the genitalia and say, "It's a boy." Well, don't be too quick on that one, okay? There are a lot of issues here. I have been very blessed. When I was young, I didn't even know the word transgendered, or I didn't know why I felt this way, so I did everything to basically run away from it, literally. And it worked for me. Every story in my community is different. And it worked for me for many, many years, but it never, ever, ever, ever went away. I remember Kate Bornstein asking my two girls, Kendall and Kylie, asked her the question, when did you know you were a girl? And Kylie looks at her and goes, "God, nobody's ever asked me that question before." And so Kylie and Kendall are sitting there thinking, and then when did I know I was a girl? And they're thinking about this and they're thinking about that. Well, Kendall goes, "I'm a little bit of a tomboy, but I thought it was great." You know why? Because that was the first time my kids ever thought about gender, okay, and about who they are. And that same thought goes through a trans person 24 hours a day, every day, 365 days out of the year. Who am I? And I struggled with it forever. Mental health, by far, is the biggest issue. We have come a long way physically to be able to make a transition, to be able to go from one sex to the other. It's pretty amazing what the doctors have been able to do. So that is the easy portion. The bigger problem is the psychological side of this, especially for trans youth. With the amount of exposure that the transgender community has gotten over the last 15, 20 years, with the development of the internet changed the game. All of a sudden now, when I was a young person, there was no information out there. I was alone. Today, a young trans person can go on the internet and find out everything and probably more than they need to know. Find out everything that's going on out there and figure out, wait a second, this is who I am. The mental stability for these young people is by far the most difficult thing. We have a 9 times higher suicide rate primarily than the general public, primarily with ages under 21. Under the age of 21, 41% of all trans people attempt suicide, okay? It is extraordinarily high. Bullying is huge. Now, what comes about? Because of the internet, online bullying, which is even more devastating for these young people. And in some cases, we even have, say to North Carolina, government coming down on them and saying, "You can't be who you are. You have to go in the bathroom that your birth certificate says you are." Okay? So there's a lot of issues for that. So the mental health of the trans community is by far the most difficult. I struggled with it all my life, but I had my ways of diversion. I had the games. I had a tremendous family. I became, my job was to raise my family and raise great kids. And there's nothing I'm more proud of.
But didn't you live in fear most of your life? Let's face it,
I have lived in fear. You were
Bruce Jenner. You were decathlete for those of us who were here. You became an American hero overnight. It was the Cold War, so it was very important for us to have something to show against the Soviets and the East Germans. Weren't you in total fear that you would be discovered?
Absolutely. My life was a life of secrecy, okay? I had like a double life. I had my family life, which was wonderful, but then I had also all these issues that I had to deal with deep inside of me about who I am as a person. Who am I? For the last 2 years before I finally made the decision to transition, my life was absolute hell. I would get out of my gates and my property, and I would have 3 or 4 paparazzi cars following me everywhere I went, trying to take pictures. They followed me everywhere. It was horrible, looking for some picture. I was demonized in the tabloids almost every day. My kids would walk through the grocery line and there would be a picture of me on the cover, you know, Bruce is transitioning into a woman, it's this is going on, that going on, all of this stuff. My life was hell, to say the least, it was hell. And mentally, it's extraordinarily difficult. But I'm a very strong person mentally, from all the way back in the games to all the things that I've done in my life. There was only one time where I ever contemplated and thought about suicide. And it was probably at my low point. This is a few years ago. I was doing ways that I could sneak around and do a few little things to make me feel better about myself. I hated my Adam's apple. So I thought, you know what? Even though the tabloids and everybody's following me, I could sneak in, do a little shave. It's nothing. They'll never notice, okay? So I went through it. And of course, as I walked out, I did it at 6:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning at the office. It takes like 45 minutes. It's not a big deal. I was out of there by like 9:30. But it looked like the security guard called the paparazzis. And when I came out, my assistant came up to the back door in the alley. And in the 2 feet from walking from the doctor, and I had a thing up, but you could see a little bit of a bandage right here. In that 2 feet from getting in the alley into the car, we never saw him, but a paparazzi got a picture, okay? All hell broke loose. TMZ is calling everybody. I'm going down the highway and Harvey Levin's on the phone from TMZ. I've got this picture, we're gonna run it, on and on and on. And I said, Harvey, don't do it, okay? Why? Because it ruins my life and it ruins my family's life. Don't come up with this story. And he ran it the next day. And I knew he was going to do it. That night, when I knew this story was coming out the next day, I'm thinking, it's over. They're going to go crazy on me. And I couldn't sleep. And I'm in my house in Malibu, and I'm walking up and down the aisle, or up and down the hallway, back and forth all night long, thinking, oh, God, it's just the next couple of weeks, you know, it's just going to be horrible. And I thought, you know what the easy way to do? I got a gun in the house. The easy way to do is to go in there and boom, end it, you know? And that was kind of the easy way out at that point. And obviously, I didn't do it. And the next day, I was into remote control helicopters, and I'm in this open field all by myself. And I put the helicopter down, and I went for a walk. And I just thought to myself, wasn't that stupid last night that you would actually think of something like that, that would actually cross your mind? And I thought, I don't want my story to end that way. I've done all these wonderful things in life. I've raised a great family, the games, all that sort of stuff. What a horrible way to end my life. And it was the beginning of the turning point saying, hey, if the worst thing in life is that I'm trans, okay, I can handle it.
Why did you, and someone asked me this yesterday, and I think it's an interesting question. When you transitioned, you were what, 65, 66?
65.
65, it's a long time. It's obviously a long time to wait. I know there were periods in your life where you had come close. Some would say, look, too old, 65. Why did you decide finally that you had to do this?
I had dealt with this subject all my life. I spent my entire life raising my family, dealing with the issue on the side the best I possibly could. Going to hotels, going this place, that place, sneaking around, traveling with two bags, one male, one female. I mean, you have no idea. But you'll find out in the book, right?
Depends how much you pay me.
You will find out about it. But I mean, I went through all of these things and dealing with it. I thought in the 80s, I was really struggling and I thought I would transition before I was 40. Why? Because I didn't want to be an old trans woman. I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it before I'm 40. Got to 39, could not go any farther. I'd been on hormones for 4 years. I was living by myself. I said, maybe I should just get back into life. And because I was basically isolated in a house for 6 years. And maybe I should get back into life. A few months later, met Chris. We got married. And then it was raising a family. There's so many things along the way, and if I can briefly do this, I always used to explain myself if I was talking to my children or anybody, and I didn't talk to too many people, but I would always kind of explain to myself, because I am a person of faith, that maybe this is a good way to explain it. God's looking down, and he's making little Bruce, okay? And so God's looking down and said, what are we going to do with this one? Let's make him a good-looking guy. Let's give him good looks. Let's make him intelligent, give him good grade, great drive. Let's give him great drive. Let's make him athletic. That's kind of cool. And in fact, I'll tell you what, let's make him really athletic. That's even cooler. So God is handing out all these wonderful qualities. And then he gets to the end, and he goes, wait a second, look at all these wonderful qualities we were given to this one right here. I mean, everybody's got their stuff. You know, what are we going to give this one to deal with? And God sits back in his chair and chuckles and goes, aha, let's give this one the soul of a female, and let's see what happens. Whoosh! Little Bruce goes out into this world. And that's what I've dealt with my whole life. So I explained it to my friends, this and that, and every time I would sit in church, and pretty much everybody out there, when you come to serious issues that you have in life, you always, if you are a person of faith, you always wonder, why did God do this to me? What is there a reason? How am I doing with it? On and on and on. And I would sit in church all the time and listen to the pastor and I'd be thinking in my head, in God's eyes, am I doing the right thing? And finally, I invited my pastor after I talked to all my children. One-on-one, I brought my pastor out and I sat him down. He had no idea what was coming. And I sat down and I told him my story. And I basically said, in God's eyes, how does he see me? And he said, God loves you and this and that. But I kind of had a revelation that night. And that was that everybody has a reason for being on this earth. And I thought to myself, you know what? In God's eyes, maybe this is the reason he put me on this earth. To tell my story at this point in my life. The way the trans issue is in the world right now, it is much more open, okay? I mean, you know, Renee Richards and everything, it was a different era back in the 70s when she came out and this and that. We had Laverne Cox, the Janet Mox, the people. It was a bigger issue. It was a little bit more accepted, not really accepted, but a little bit more accepted. And it made it easier for me to make that decision. But I thought to myself, you know what? Bruce has done just about everything he can in life. Done everything, raised a family, won the games, did this, you know, all that kind of stuff, that maybe I can, for the first time in my life, live my life authentically, and in God's eyes, make a difference.
Which you've done. I think you have, and I will say this also, that I think you have introduced the word transgender men, transgender community. I think all that is being written about it, even if it's con, is a result of your coming forth. You know, it's interesting. God had the same conversation with me. But he said, I'm not going to make you athletic. I'm not going to make you tall. I'm not going to make you tall. And I'm not going to make you good looking. And then God looked at me and said, fuck it. You know?
Yeah. Become a writer.
You can wear rings.
Yeah, become a writer.
You can look any way you look. Fuck it.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say, and I want you to talk about this, and this is really talking about how you feel personally. There was a journalist named Ian Halperin, who I think is British, who wrote a biography of the Kardashians, and in order to create self-serving publicity for himself, claimed that he had a source close to the family who said Caitlyn was unhappy and wanted to transition back. Well, if Ian was here, you're totally full of fucking shit. Now, I know, because I have spent more time with Caitlyn than anyone else alive in the past 6 months. And the problem is this story is not funny. It's treated funny by the media. The New York Times picked it up, ha ha ha. The Washington Post picks it up, ha ha ha. But it's damaging. Ian Halperin is a gutless motherfucker. So why don't you talk, and I mean this, and I'm saying this not perfect, and there's media here, a gutless motherfucker. And I wanted Caitlyn to sue for libel, but she's not as big an asshole as I am. But she should. However, why don't you tell what it has been like for you to finally reach your soul?
Girls, I'm on the team and I'm not leaving. Hey.
That's a great answer.
And now, my life over the last year has been the best, most rewarding year of my life by far, bigger than anything else I've ever done. And so why would I lose all of that? But the thing I think that a lot of people don't understand is when you do transition, they think that, oh my God, all of a sudden, you're a different person. I had one trans person, I talk to trans people all the time. They call me, they write me, and I actually call them back. If they leave their number, I'll call them. I want to know your story. What's your story? And I remember this actually at the University of Oregon, a professor who just transitioned. I was talking to her, and I remember saying a friend of mine brought up some pictures of his old life and said to him, well, do you even want these pictures? He goes, of course I want those pictures. People go to me, well, now that you're female and, you know, right down to my birth certificate, it's gender marker F, what do you think of the games? Do you even care about that part? No, I'm very proud of that. I still do, although I live my life authentically, I look at it this way. For so long, this woman has lived inside me, never having an opportunity to express herself. Everybody saw Bruce. It was time for Bruce to live inside and let her express herself. But that doesn't mean I'm a different person. I still fly planes. Trans woman, I found out, you know what, there is a Transgender Pilots Association. I had no idea.
I know, Caitlin, please, let's not go there. Keep going, keep going.
Yeah. 93 members they have around the world. I found trans pilots. I found this. I had last month I had a race. I raced cars for years, as old Bruce. And they asked me to come and do this race. Why not? Girls can do this sort of stuff. Why shouldn't I have some fun? I love doing this stuff. So I still do a lot of the same things I did before, but Caitlin does them, okay? And so this transition, although so many things are different, and for me, so many things are the same, you know? My relationships with my family, I think, have gotten better. Why? Because there's no more lies. I know last year Barbara Walter picked me the most fascinating person in the country for 2015. And I thought, well, I'm glad I won that one last year, you know, in 2015, because I've got no more secrets. You know, I'm going to be boring from this point on.
Oh, no, you are already.
Yeah, already boring. Thank you. And so this transition, although so many things have changed, so many things have also stayed the same. And in so many ways, my sense of humor, the way I treat people. You know, you talked about yesterday all the people coming up and taking selfies. I mean, literally hundreds.
It's very, very inspirational
and,
to see you interact. Very
The reason I do that, you know, they said only about 6% of people actually knew somebody who was trans before Vanity Fair, Diane Sawyer. For the first time with Diane Sawyer, so many people all of a sudden met this person that they knew who was trans, and now it's up to like 30%. But I feel a responsibility as a trans woman to conduct myself in a way that represents me in the right light, but also represents this community in the right light. I have met so many wonderful people who are trans, male to female, female to male. It's an amazing process when you see people go that, and I feel the same process. For so long, you live this lie. You sneak around. You do all of this thing, all these types of things. Finally, you make the decision, and it's not easy, and everybody does it at a different time in their life, in a different place. Finally, you make this decision to live your life authentically. I've seen so many of these people who have finally gone through transition and all the BS that goes along with it, but then all of a sudden, as a human being, be reborn in business, in work, in the way they treat their people. It's thousands of pounds of weight off your shoulders.
But you've also seen, and I want to point this out, and I'm not an apologist for you, I know you well, that you've also seen the difficulty that transgender men and women have, the problem particularly with African-American transgender women, the rate of homicide, which is terrifying. You've seen all that, and one thing I will say, and it gets complicated, but you always describe yourself to me, I'm not a woman. I'm a trans woman. It's hard. What is a woman? What is a man? But you've talked about
how you feel personally, your comfort now. Talk about that. I think that's very important for people to hear.
Yeah, we have obviously tremendous problems. I talked about the suicide rate, murder rate. Last year, and I kind of wonder why, we had 24 known homicides towards trans women, primarily women of color. I had no idea until I started talking to my girls on the show that the sex business for trans women is huge, and it's big money. And a lot of these people, a lot of these young trans women, especially in the minority areas, they cannot get a job, they are not accepted, so what do? They go to sex work and make very good money. And I see it all the time. And that's where primarily a lot of the murders happen. They put themselves in vulnerable situations. But for me, what was the first part of that?
How do you feel personally? How do you feel?
I feel personally. I feel so damn good, I can't stand it.
You feel comfortable, I mean, which, for the first time in your life.
Right? Very comfortable with myself. It's just wonderful. Actually, I mean, every day there's always a new experience. And today I was sitting there getting ready to come out, and I'm kind of in a different position than most, even women, because every day of my life I will be photographed. When I walk out the door, I'm either going to get a selfie, I'm going to have a paparazzi take a picture, it will be posted. Buzz and I, we've had shots together.
Yeah, we're
they're
dating.
Wondering, who's the short guy?
We're dating. We're doing a sequel of Twins starring
Danny
DeVito.
We've dated, and
Arnold Schwarzenegger, because you wear these goddamn stilettos, and they come up to your fucking knee.
I know. That's... And women, if you're tall, wear the shoes, baby. Okay, don't be afraid of it.
Not yet.
Yes, go with it. But, I remember Kim coming up, and when I was talking to her about this whole transition, she goes, okay, girl, if you do this, you got to rock it every day. You cannot go out the door unless you're put together. And because the paparazzis will get a shot of you with the hair kind of blowing over or something bad, or you're not put together fairly decently. I love everyday clothes, jeans, tops, all that sort of stuff. But you got to at least present yourself well. If you don't, they're going to kill you. They're out there looking for that one shot. And
then
one case coming out of a movie theater, the wind was blowing, and of course they got that shot. Caitlin, oh my God, what's happened? And so I'm kind of in a different position that I will be photographed every day when I go out. So I try to take my appearance seriously. And to me, it's fun. I mean, I have a great time doing
about 40 seconds.
Like this morning, when I was getting ready, and there's always something. And I was sitting there getting ready, and I thought, I always wondered all my life when I, because I would cross-dress and in some cases go out and sneak around, never got caught, was pretty good at it, and never got caught. And I always thought, is there going to be some day in my life when I'd wake up in the morning and I would have, she would have to get ready. You didn't have any choice. She had to get ready, okay? Would that point in my life ever come? And it's certainly, I was thinking this morning, yeah, it's come here. I got to get ready, you know, I have no choice. And it's just a very comfortable feeling.
And unfortunately, we are out of time. I applaud you. I think you've done a wonderful service for society. You're still a little fucked up, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And I want to give you a hug and thank you, for all.
You got it, baby. Thank you.
That's a wrap on Spotlight Health 2017.